podcast is dedicated to those that are in the mix, making it happen, and want to do better. Better at everything. Each episode, our guest will help us be better, do better, and perform better. We will tackle topics that we all deal with in business and in life.
I have a question for you before we get started. How are you doing? How are you doing? You know, I hope you stop during the day and you know, you're working hard, you're making things happen. How often do you stop and take inventory? How am I doing today? Am I doing better than yesterday? How can I help someone else do better? Something to think about. It's been on my mind lately. You know, I talk to so many people every day, and I'd count that as a huge gift to be able to talk to folks. And I often ask, you know, hey, how are you doing? And I heard a comedian recently say there's only two answers that are acceptable, fine and great. Well, if I don't really care how you're doing, maybe those are the best answers. But I won't ask unless I really want to know, how are you doing? And you got to be careful what you're signing up for. Because I tell people, hey, man, no, seriously, how are you doing? And it's really hit me hard just how many of my friends and family and colleagues, there's a lot of folks having some tough times out there, whether it be health, finances, relationship, career, child rearing, you know, you name it. So I say all that to say, first of all, I hope you're doing well. Cut yourself some slack, you know, make time for yourself. That's so important. And give grace and mercy to others, you know. I know that can be hard sometimes, but I believe it goes full circle, right? So anyway, let's get to the matter at hand today. I have a great guest. You're going to really love him. We really talk about some cool technology, and I think you're going to enjoy it. I think you're going to learn something about technology and IoT. If you're one of our selling partners, for sure, you never would have thought you would have the opportunity to sell and make lots of money doing so. Check this episode out. Listen to the end. You're going to love it. And by the way, thanks for making time to listen to The Wireless Way. Again, I know you're busy. I know there's a lot going on in the world. And make sure you make time for yourself as well. Take inventory. How are you doing? And when I ask you how you're doing next time, you can tell me. I'd love to hear your story. And if I could add value or help out, I'm here for you. Okay, let's get to business and let's get this show started. So that next episode starts now. Welcome to another episode of The Wireless Way. And as always, I'm just thankful for you listening. I'm even as thankful for my guests, because I generally just really fortunate to have some great people in my network and my ecosystem. I work with some amazing people, and today's no exception. Today you have Joel Urano with us, and he's the president and CEO of Modus Systems, Inc. We brought them on as a supplier here at Telarus, you know, almost a year ago. So at least started the conversation almost a year ago. And Modus was founded in 2016. So Joel's going to tell us more about that. He brings more than 20 years experience to Modus and telecom on the service and equipment side of the industry. His experience and leadership stem from not only his professional career, but also from his time in the United States Marine Corps, where he served as a, we call it NBC, but Nuclear Chemical Biological Defense Chief for several units. And of course, those of you that know me know I'm an Army guy, and I used to just deplore when someone would say gas, 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 and you had to put on the mask and the mop suit. But Joel knows that stuff very well. He received a Navy Achievement Medal for his efforts in keeping his units qualified for operations in contaminated environments. So he has a background of protecting people and creating safe environments, right, Joel? So I love how that even crosses over to what you're doing now. During his professional career, Joel has been focused on developing and delivering channel-friendly solutions that make revenue growth easier on the indirect sales side of telecom industry. He believes that each member of the organization is a valuable piece of the puzzle in achieving success. And in addition to all that,
He has his Bachelor of Business Admin from Texas Tech University. Joel, welcome to the show. Did I get that right? Is that that's you, right?
That's it, Chris. Really appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no problem. So as is always the case, I love the bios because, you know, I think, you know, often in life and in business, we go fast and we work with people and we don't always take time to get to know them. You know, who are they? How did they get here? So that's probably my first question for you. Tell us a little bit more. What's not in the bio that we should know about you?
I'm currently working on my private pilot certificate. Just something I always wanted to do. And, you know, the best way I could describe that is, you know, we all remember the day we got a driver's license and all of a sudden, you know, the distance you could go from home as a teenager expanded dramatically. And you know, so that part's a lot of fun. And it's just something I've always wanted to do as a kid. Also, play tennis. My wife's a very avid tennis player. You know, she competes at the national level. And so I love going around and supporting her and her tournaments and everything she does. But I don't, unfortunately, don't have the time to play like she does. But I do enjoy getting out there.
She let you fly her from event to event yet?
Well, you know, that's the beauty of it, right? A lot of people get their private pilot's license and they don't really have a reason to do it. And I said, you know what? That's my reason. Like, rather than driving from Dallas to San Antonio and then finishing up at 6 o'clock on a Sunday and having a 5.5-6 hour drive back, now it's an hour and a half flight back from San Antonio. So so that part's a lot of fun. It's like, oh great, now I've got a reason to do it.
That's great. Now that's fantastic. So you went from the Marine Corps. How long were you in the Marine Corps again?
8 years.
8 years. That's a long time. And you know, it's funny, we have that in common because, you know, I spent basically 10 years in the infantry as an airborne infantry mortar maggot, we even called ourselves. But you know, to see the jump for me, you know, from 22 years ago, 23 years ago to today, man, what a pivot. It's such a 180. And even for you, I mean, my time working with you, if you didn't tell me you were in the Marine Corps, I never would have guessed it. And you know, even an NBC guy, a nuclear chemical biological defense chief, that's a specialty, you know. So to see how you went from that to what you were going to talk about today, how did you make that pivot? I mean, when you got out of the Marine Corps, how did you just know, hey, I want to do this? I want to get into telecom and technology.
No, I actually worked for if you know, all you guys remember PageNet at the beeper company, I worked for them in their advanced products group, and I got tied into some advanced solutions. So I've actually been doing, you know, before it was even, you know, IoT, before that M2M, and before that there wasn't even a name for it, telemetry, I guess. And so I started doing telemetry data across the paging networks back in 1998. So that was always an interesting one. And then that bled into, you know, the wireless carrier side, you know, non-paging, but the cellular, you know, voice guys like, you know, AT&T and Verizon and those folks. Right. And so it just kind of opened up some opportunities there. And I saw some things and eventually started my first company in 2005 and kind of been going at it since then. In fact, I still have that one, that company as well. So.
Interesting. It's funny you said 1998, because that's when I got out of the Army at Fort Bragg with 82nd Airborne. And I got out on a Friday afternoon and I already had a job lined up that I started Monday knocking doors in Northern Virginia, selling a Roadrunner high-speed internet service to, you know, and of course in Northern Virginia, that was kind of like they were calling that then, you know, the East Coast semi-valley, you know, it's a lot of tech companies, man, it was a blast. And that, it's funny, we kind of had our, you know, the roots planted the same year. Even was that when you got out of the Marine Corps in 98?
It was, yeah.
Okay, oh, that's cool, man. I knew that, I forgot. Very cool. Then, so that's awesome. Okay, so let's fast forward to today. Again, you know what brought us together. Interestingly enough, I remember my devices saying, "Hey, you need to talk to Joel at Modus. They're just a great partner, and they get it." And, you know, for those of you, if you're listening, you're not sure what My Devices is, you know, we need to talk because you need to know more about it. But then, you know, you're like, you know, you clearly had a vision for well beyond even the Internet of Things. You know, you're a technologist, a futurist in a sense, and you saw value in Rabbit Run, and that's on your website, that's on your offer card. And but what's the latest at Modus? What's going on that is causing some excitement?
So, you know, we are always looking for new and exciting technology to bring to the channel. I like looking at the channel from two perspectives, right? So there's the resellers, right? And then we've got this, you know, fantastic organization like Telarus has got these amazing sales partners out there. So I'm looking at the vendors like a Samsung, right? Samsung doesn't have an agent, sales partner program, but through us, now you can sell, you know, all manner of Samsung products, right? So we're always looking for different types of solutions we can sell. And we came across something I hadn't considered, but was really interesting. It was electric vehicle charging stations that came with programmatic advertising. And probably the most exciting thing about these two solutions, and you can buy them, there's, you know, you could do, you know, standalone by themselves, or there's even a combined, you know, combined platform that has both encompassed in one piece of hardware. But the most exciting thing is that this is one of those solutions that actually makes money for the customer. It is a revenue generator. And not something, you know, it's not a cost savings. It's not a, we'll make you more efficient. It's let us send you a check, right? On the electricity side, they get a disbursement every month on the electricity piece. They get a disbursement every quarter on the advertising piece. So it actually is putting money back into their budget. And, you know, with some of the partners we've done our soft launch with, they're already experiencing situations where now the customer's saying, well, now I've got the budget to work on the other projects we've been talking about. So, you know, not only is it a big sale, right? It's an exciting sale, but it now creates opportunity to sell other solutions inside your account.
So it not only pays for itself in the sense for the hardware purchase, but it provides that end user customer that revenue stream that they can tag to those other products we've been talking about. That's pretty amazing. So you mentioned, you know, standalone and the combo units. Tell us a little more about that. What do you mean by that?
So there are, I'm sure, you know, most people have walked into a restaurant and we've seen that a lot of restaurants now have these digital signage boards. Well, you know, what we've done and through this partner is taking it to the next level, right? So now that signage board will actually serve up ads. And the nice thing here is that the customer doesn't have to go find the ad buyers. You know, maybe they're not even in the advertising business. It's all fully managed. Really, it's just get the board, hang it up in your location. The customer can control. Well, they really get to veto any advertisements they don't want. And let's say you hang up. You're in a convenience store or some, you know, grocery store or a pharmacy or something. Just making up some examples here. And you know, Starbucks. So Starbucks will actually pay to have those impressions, right? And then the customer who, since they've got the board in their hotel or store or whatever, you know, they get a chunk of that revenue. Right. So it's all fully managed and, you know, it's really turnkey mailbox money for the customer. So you've got that. Then you've got the charging station and, you know, really, hold on one second there. So the advertising is really driven by the amount of traffic that goes by the signage. So, you know, when you start looking at the charging station, right, and you want to put the advertising with it, you know, you really should, you know, if you're going to put it in the basement of a parking garage or, right, or somewhere off in the corner where no one sees it, then, you know, the advertising isn't as powerful and really, you know, it's not ideal. But if you're going to put that charging someplace where, you know, where you got foot traffic and, you know, it's not just the person charging their vehicle, but it's also, you know, people walking by that parking space, right? Now we're talking about something now it's a little bit more interesting in terms of getting that, those impressions that the advertising buyer needs. So, but then, you know, then lastly, you know, again, maybe you just want a charging station and it has to go in the basement. So you can buy the charging station by itself, or the customer can.
Right.
And this, even on the charging side, the project is fully managed. So, kind of the process really simple. I mean, there's a lot of steps, but you know, the high level is we'll come in, we'll give them some preliminary numbers, sight unseen, you know, kind of talk through the situation with the customer. And then once the customer's serious, we'll actually send out an electrical engineer and they'll go do the engineering specs, right? Pull the power panel, get everything we need, you know, look at the limitations for it based on, you know, whatever power is available. And then we'll get to some specific, you know, firm numbers by that location. customer says yes, then that same engineer becomes the project manager, and they manage all the construction. They pull the permits, right? They do all the installation, running conduit, pulling wire, upgrading the panel, you know, the whole nine yards. So at that point, really, it's very hands off for the customer. You know, once it's done, there's a, you know, the commissioning of the power station, or I'm sorry, the charging station, and you know, we provide them some training on how to manage it, and off they go. So, you know, some great ideas or great locations to look at would be, you know, as I mentioned, grocery stores, convenience stores, movie theaters, multifamily, you know, dwellings. You know, if you look at apartment complexes or high rise condominiums, those are fantastic for the charging stations. Like truck stops, hotels are a big one. You know, gyms. Somebody actually quoted out one of those brand, you know, fitness facilities that, you know, we've all heard the name. And that one actually came back with some pretty exciting revenue numbers on the advertising side, just because of the traffic. So, this is an exciting thing. Like, this is one of those solutions that only comes along once in a while. That, you know, as I said, it's a revenue generator for your customer. It's not just a,
and it's a real need. I mean, let's face it, gas prices like they are, you know, why we're here, you know, let's not even get into that, but that's also a whole nother podcast. But the reality is, you know, gas prices are going up. You know, it's funny, I'm in the market because I want a hybrid plug-in car, because, you know, I'm not quite ready to pull the trigger on a 100% electric car, but I like the idea of going, hey, if I'm on a trip and my charge exhaust, I can at least have a small gas reserve engine, whatever. But yeah, it's going, hey, if there's not enough charging stations, this ain't going to work. So there's a shortage of charging stations, right? I mean, it's a real need.
Yeah, no, it's really exciting. And, you know, I don't know, you know, maybe some of your listeners have heard, but as of 2023, GM announced that, you know, they're not going to manufacture gas vehicles after that year. That's the last year for gas vehicles for General Motors. A couple of other manufacturers have already made similar announcements. And so, you know, like, where is the, you know, the infrastructure has to be in place. You know, I mean, one of our partners said, you know, yeah, my mom wanted to buy an electric vehicle, but there's not a charging station, you know, within 300 miles where we're at. So, you know, she just said no. And so, right. So the infrastructure's got to catch up. And unfortunately, the current administration has even put some subsidy out there, almost $5 billion to help offset the cost of the charging station. So, you know, depending on where you put it, you know, you can apply for these grants, and the customer can at the state level, and it actually covers 80% of the cost of the charging station, which will be, you know, which is still going to be financed, and it just increases the cash back to the customer even faster, because, you know, the construction cost is offset even more. So it's really exciting.
That is. So let's talk about that. And by the way, I remember a time I was, again, a couple of years ago, I was looking into plugins before, and the office park that my office was at didn't have a charging station. So I'm like, well, what's the point? You know, I'm not going to go two blocks away and charge my car and have to either Uber or walk back to the office. That kind of takes the whole point out of it. But I think, yeah, industrial office parks have got to be a big target. You know, any kind of commercial property management company definitely would be a great prospect, because they're trying to add value to their properties. I think having the charging stations there clearly is value, not to mention additional revenue source. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, just to give everyone an idea of it, like, kind of the magnitude of what's happening here. You know, I know there's a project currently going on. This was just the city of LA that bought this. I mean, it wasn't a partner deal, unfortunately. But at LAX, they're installing 1,200 electric vehicle charging stations right now at LAX Airport. 1,200. I mean, that is an enormous number. You know, probably a fraction of the parking spaces there, but, you know, just kind of thinking what that looks like. That's you know, we're talking megawatt substations getting installed at that point. So, and that's, again, all handled in the process.
Yeah, that is pretty amazing. So we'll protect the innocent here without naming any locations or names or business models. I mean, can you share with us, kind of high level, what type of opportunities have come from Telarus Partners just in this, in your soft launch?
So we've got a number of, you know, exciting opportunities that we're working on right now, and some are, you know, we're past the sitewalk phase. So, you know, one of the partners has brought a list of a number of multifamily residential locations, north of 50 locations, just in, you know, in the, so here, let me try it. Here's 50. Oh, Okay, great. Let's start working them. Another partner is working on a truck stop or truck stop chain. She's also working on a city, with their infrastructure for public parking lots, and we're working that angle. Got another partner that is pushing opportunities on the retail side. So looking at the strip centers that she's got relationships with, not only the anchor stores or the tenants, but also the real estate development firm. So if any of your partners have contacts in the apartment construction business, right, those kind of guys, or again, real estate developers, or again, even just those businesses, like I mentioned, like a convenience store. I think we've all walked up to a convenience store and seen the poster in the window, advertising a soft drink or a beer or energy drink, and rather than having to print the posters and ship them and somebody hangs them in the wall, we can just hang the display in the window, and now the display generates revenue for that store and also is, likely advertising products that are in the store, which could drive sales for the customer. So it's kind of a win-win.
So somebody needs a digital signage not connected with the charger. There's no charging station opportunity, but there's a digital signage opportunity you can play there too.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, that opportunity I was mentioning on the retail side, there is no charging station opportunity there. This is simply an in-window display. And in this case, it's double-sided. So, points out the window, and then there's a screen on the backside looking into the store. And in that case, this customer is looking at a pilot of two screens on the initial store, and he wants to see what that looks like. And then beyond that, right, he said, if this goes well, then why wouldn't we roll out to all, 100-plus locations? So, so it's a nice, definitely a nice opportunity.
Gosh, man, that's pretty amazing. What are some gotchas or maybe, things to stay away from when it comes to maybe, definitely the charging station. I can think of some. I know we talked about them. I'd love to have you share that with us again. Then is there any type of prospects that are not good for even the digital signage?
Anything Sure. So, if you look at a chicken sandwich fast food chain, right? It really doesn't matter which one at this point, but you got to imagine that if you put that signage in their window, then they probably don't want anything on that advertising other than their own, sandwiches or nuggets or whatever that may be, and maybe the soft drinks they advertise. So those guys are probably not ideal for the digital signage, standalone by themselves. But conversely, again, like I said, if maybe you look at a pharmacy, right? You look at a convenience store where they've got a whole bunch of brands, a grocery store. I mean, grocery stores are terrific. Hotels, casinos, the larger airports are pretty gobbled up already through contract, but some of the smaller airports are definitely available. And again, airports have tremendous foot traffic, so those are good ones as well.
Yep. And the digital signage on the charging station, we're not talking like a little 9-inch screen. This is almost it's like a poster size, vertically placed, right? Is that a good way to describe it?
Yeah, that's right. It's actually a 55-inch digital display made by Samsung. Right. So, it's a brand everybody knows. And, so it's not small. But fortunately, at that size, it falls underneath the requirements of most of the zoning. I won't say all, but, most zoning requirements, in the municipality. So, right, we really don't even run into those issues. So, if it comes up, give us a shout, right? If there's any question on the zoning, give us a shout, and right, we can, help point us, you and or your partner and the customer to the right place and, step through it. But, there's also a team in place to support those kinds of questions. So I did want to also throw out, though, school districts, colleges and universities, right? All those parking lots, shopping malls, outlet stores, food courts. I mean, there's just the list just goes on and on of places.
So, you mentioned the college and the schools. Do they have the option of inserting their own, football game schedule or maybe the pep rallies this Friday? Can they insert their own signage into the scrolling advertising?
Absolutely, right. So again, as I mentioned, the customer gets control of the advertisements, and really, it's kind of like saying, "Here's my pie, and we're going to cut out half of the pie that we'll sell to somebody, and we're going to eat the rest ourselves." So, typically, on as a let's say, you know, as a level set, let's say that half of the impressions get sold to the advertisers, and then the other half of them are held back, and the, you know, the customer can use them for whatever they want. And, you know, so they can upload images, they can upload short videos, right? So they can use that for their own, you know, if it's college, university, and they want to, you know, all right, hey, come to the game this week, and we're playing such and such state university in football. So, you know, don't miss out and support the team, right? I mean, they can put their own advertisements or messaging up there on the boards.
And the end user customer does not have to go out and sell the advertise it themselves. That's already managed. That's pushed to the signage.
That's correct. That's correct.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's kind of like almost like a no brainer. I mean, you know, just getting through the prequal and the site survey with engineering just to make sure it's possible and there's a capacity on the breaker board, or maybe if they add something, you know, it's funny. I saw, you know, I don't know if this is too much off topic, but I was driving by a gas station yesterday and I saw some charging stations, with a huge solar panel mounted above them. I thought, man, that's pretty interesting. Cause you know, that way it kind of is truly standalone. It's, getting its own power from the sun. Do you see that as an option down the road, or?
So they're probably using that to offset some of the fluctuation in the power supply. You know, some vendors out there, and you know, if it's okay, I like that. You know, I won't mention names, but right. So there's a little bit of competition in the space, but really not a whole lot. And you know, but on the solar piece, like some of them may use that just to power some of the, you know, some maybe some battery reserves or stored energy. But you know, it's really, you know, I mean, one car could really suck up the entire, all of the energy stored in those batteries. So it's just really not sense. Enough, you know, with the size panel that you might have over a charging station. So,
yeah,
but you know, like it doesn't hurt. And frankly, that actually creates additional tax credits and incentives for, you know, the site host or the owner of the station. So now they've got another alternative fuel method, right? So, you know, rather than gasoline, and that just, you know, the fact that was done to create the additional tax incentives for the customer.
Interesting. You know, and we had you on a study hall call just yesterday with our Academy attendees, and someone brought up the question of, you know, what are the regulatory concerns that we should be aware of? And I love your answer. Maybe you could tell us a little bit, you know, how does MODIS help address regulatory concerns?
So the, you know, the regulatory concerns here are, you know, there really actually aren't that many. You know, you're not acting as a, you know, you're not acting as a public utility provider, you know, where you're selling electricity into a building or a home. So, you know, in almost every case, that's a moot point. Now we do look at, you know, if there are any rules and requirements in putting a charging station and or the advertising in the local, you know, in a specific spot. Right, the permitting from the engineer, like, you know, they'll look at those pieces from an electrical side, but you know, we do need a little bit of feedback from the customer. You know, I mean, if they've got a retail store, they probably already have an idea if there's some signage permitting requirements. But in terms of selling the, you know, being a group entity person, whatever that may be, that's going to sell electricity to charge cars, you know, we have not seen a single instance of that becoming an issue. Now, I can't say that won't change in the future, but you know, the local city and county governments are, you know, they're always going to want their piece of the pie. But again, that's also something that's fully managed by the Loop, which is a charging station provider. So also something that the customer doesn't have to deal with.
I think you're being a little modest. I mean, what I was looking for there, I mean, you have a little bit of a background and your company has a little bit of expertise when it comes to the details of, you know, to be, compliance and taxation, et cetera, right? So you know a little bit about that.
Yeah. It's not the exciting thing that anybody wants to hear about, but you know, what I love about the foundation of what MODIS does is, you know, we look at solutions and technology providers and say, you know, when you sell a product, a widget, sometimes a service, in fact, a lot of times a service now, right? There are sales tax that you've got to do. And, you know, there's a lot of people that use that excuse of, oh, it's out of state, there's no tax. I'm telling you, that is not the law, and it's never been the law, right? It's just been a matter of, do you have a requirement to collect it? It doesn't mean that there's no tax owed on it. So, you know, I've spent really the last 10 years looking at transactional taxes, looking at regulatory compliance for telecommunications, and, you know, who are the, believe it or not, there's, you know, there's a lot of, again, I certainly won't name any names here, but, you know, there's a lot of folks that are selling, you know, telecom services that aren't properly registered. So, you know, initially I started the company to help, you know, solve that issue. And what really came down to it is I had a couple of sales partners, you know, actually one of them was yours. I said, look, you know, I don't need all the stuff you guys are doing on the tax and regulatory, but I really like the products you have. So can I just sell it? You pay me the commission. Sure. You know, so that was the eye opener for me. Is like, all right, so we need to address the market that, you know, Telera serves and, you know, with your sales partners and make sure we can bring those products to market, make them available to them. You know, like I said, like these Samsung digital advertising boards, you know, unless you want to buy it, warehouse it and, you know, install it to the customer, it's just not available in any programs, typically, as you know, that Samsung might be as a supplier to Telera. So there's a gap there that I'm really excited that we're able to close and make all these other products available.
Man, speaking of products available, you know, what's next? Do you have anything else on your radar? I mean, if nothing on your personal radar for Modus, just in the industry, do you have a particular technology that you're excited about that you see growing in the coming years?
You know, certainly, like the immediate, you know, the low hanging fruit today, you know, there is so much opportunity out there for POTS replacement, you know, and there are some, and you know, we've got a couple solutions there that we brought to the channel, right, where these guys, you know, and I'll just tell you, it goes back to the tax piece. These vendors didn't want to deal with having to, you know, yeah, we'll ship our box from, you know, the East Coast to, you know, let's say Texas where I'm at. They didn't want to deal with having to file Texas sales tax, right? And you know, all of the concerns on every other state that they, you know, would ship to. So that's why they engage with us to help drive those sales. And we take care of all that, right? We take care of all the tax assessment, tax filing on these things, which again, it's not the sexy, exciting thing that anyone wants to hear about. But if it enables more products, right, if we can bring more products to the market, right, that your sales partners can deploy to customers, and the POTS replacements are really, it's another one that was like, unfortunately, it's not a revenue generator, but there are significant cost savings. We saw a customer that had, I don't know, it's like 17 POTS lines. They were paying almost $3,000 a month for their POTS service. And the partner, you know, pitched the solution and got the price down to about $1,000 a month. So $2,000, $24,000 a year savings on this.
Yeah, I mean, hey, that's $24,000. You know, what's the saying? A penny saved is a penny earned. You know, right. So may not be a revenue source, but definitely that savings is money they can reallocate to another parts of the business for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
I agree with you. I'm very excited about POTS line replacement. Again, not really exciting. It's not a, you know, massive opportunity in the terms of maybe revenue, but if it's a, you know, a large multi-site, several elevator lines, fire alarm lines, security doors,
mm-hmm.
And yeah, you're right. They're not going to get turned off come August, but you know the carriers are backing off on supporting them. They're not installing new ones. They're not repairing, you know, cut lines, copper lines if they're cut. I mean, in fact, I mean, if you drive around town, look in the corners, you'll occasionally see the random network interface to you know, PED, if you will, and they're like damaged. They're open. They're, you know, the rain and environment is getting to them. I'm noticing that because they're just not, they don't care, you know. So yeah, if your customers relying on POTS lines, they need a fix on that real quick. I mean, this is future proof. It's new technology and often much less cost involved, right?
Well, and I'll tell you, like, I'm looking, you know, I'll tell you what we do. Like, this is our commitment to, you know, Telera as one of our partners is, you know, I'm looking for solutions where, you know, your partners can look at, you know, really like a dual comp type situation. So like in this POTS solution, right, there's a commission on the POTS line, right, on the POTS service, but there's also, you know, there's also a mobility SIM card activation. So, right. So you not only get a commission for selling the POTS solution, but guess what? They get to go turn around and, you know, all right, well now I get activation from, you know, one of the wireless carriers. So it's really like a, you know, a dual compensation opportunity, you know, for the partners.
And that's similar with the Rabbit Run, right? You're still a Rabbit Run source for us, right?
You know, absolutely. You know, we're a big fan of Rabbit Run, you know, in the SD-WAN space, you know, for those customers out there that are, you know, the larger mid-market, you know, enterprise type solutions, they get like SD-WAN is absolutely critical. And the problem with SD-WAN for, small business, this has just been priced out of reach. It's just too expensive. Well, you know, one of our partners is Rabbit Run, and they've got an SMB version, right? And you could deploy this thing at a home office, not any bigger. It's about the size of a, you know, just a little Wi-Fi router that, you know, we probably most of us have in our homes, and it does internet backup. It's got automatic failover, fail back. And, you know, we tested this thing. In fact, we run one in our office, and, you know, if the internet happens to go down with our provider, you know, we could be on a Zoom call, video doesn't drop, right? You get about a half a second glitch and the call just keeps trucking right along, right? And then the internet comes back up and you don't even know it. So, you know, that's the ideal situation. Unfortunately, it makes it a little bit harder to sell sometimes. Say, well, why do I need it? I don't even know if it's working. Well, that's the whole point, right? You don't want to lose your internet and you know
that's
it's done.
Right. So. That's right. Well, to use one of my lines that seems very appropriate, we do about to land the plane here. So if we're landing the plane, you know, what kind of last words? Is there anything that we didn't hit on that you really wanted to bring up? Take it away. What kind of last words or thoughts do you have for us?
I'll tell you again, I really appreciate the relationship with Telarus and your partners. And you know, the last thing I would mention is that, you know, one of the things that we've also found as a value add to some of your partners is that, you know, because we're not just, you know, one vendor, you know, we've got almost 80 vendors that we've got products with that, you know, are available to your partners. So now, you know, we're also in the situation where it's a multiple vendors on a single invoice. So, you know, for those customers that want, you know, one invoice to pay for, you know, a host of technology solutions, I mean, we're the answer to that. So.
Well, fantastic, Joel. It's been a pleasure. I'm grateful for the introduction to you, you know, over a year ago. And you know, I'm sitting here thinking, it's like, wow, you're such a humble guy. Because, I mean, you know, just to be a nuclear, chemical, biological defense chief takes some intelligence to get into taxation and financials. It takes a little intelligence to become a pilot. And then to dive into all the technology that you're bringing together. So I'm grateful for our friendship, and thanks for making time for us today.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on. This has been terrific, and I really look forward to continuing the relationship, Chris. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, and that's, you know, as I say, all the pleasure's on this side of the table. So thanks again. And if you want to learn more, and I encourage you to learn more, check the show notes. I'll have a link to the Modus website and one of their hotshot sales guys that we all love, Casey. We'll get that out there for you, and check the show notes. There'll be a lot more information there for you to learn more about Modus and some of the things we've been talking about today. So as always, if you like what you heard, you found value in this, please share, subscribe, you know, leave some comments or feedback, and tell your friends and colleagues about The Wireless Way. If you have an idea for a topic or a guest, or maybe you would like to be a guest on The Wireless Way, let me know. I'd love to hear about it. And I'll have that information as well in the show notes. So thank you for checking out this episode of The Wireless Way. We'll see you next time.